Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Of course, you recognize those words as the beginning of the well-known song, Amazing Grace. This morning, friends, on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about the grace of God. And I'm glad that you're here to study with me as we look at what the Bible says about the great grace of God. We appreciate you joining us every Saturday morning. Thank you for listening and supporting the work that we do here in letting the Bible speak on these important topics each week right here in Clarksville and the surrounding area. Tell your friends about us. Tell them to tune in to the radio program. We would love to have them listen, and even more so, we would love to study the Bible with you. We would love for you to come and visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for being with us this morning on the program. What is the grace of God? Paul writes in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to show His righteousness because of the passing over of the sins done aforetime in the forbearance of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace." When man sins and falls short of the glory of God, God offers the grace of God. Grace is favor or blessing freely given and freely bestowed. Notice in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, Paul writes, "being justified freely by His grace." And then later in Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, Paul writes again, "but not as the trespass, so also is the free gift. For if by the trespass of the one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound unto the many." The gift by the grace of God. Here, grace is tied to a gift. And so, it's God's favor that is a gift that is freely given and bestowed upon mankind. And it's the opposite of works of merit. In order to be saved from sin, man does not do his own thing to be saved. He does not work his own way to salvation. There are works of God, and that is described elsewhere in the New Testament as obedience. But grace is the opposite of working a work where God would owe us something or where we merit that. Grace is the opposite of merit or owing something. Paul writes in Romans chapter 11 in verse 6, "but if it is by grace, it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace." If we work and then God owes us something, then it's not grace. But if we work the works of God, if we obey what God wants us to do, then it is by grace. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, "who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before times eternal." Not of works. In the New Testament, there are different kinds of works. And the works that Paul is talking about here and back in Romans 11:6 are those works which a man would do which he believes would merit salvation. And Paul says it is not of those kind of works. In Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, starting in verse 4, Titus 3, 4, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love toward man appeared, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration, which is baptism, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which is being born again by the words of the Spirit, which He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves. So that phrase, which we did ourselves, anything we do to come to Jesus is something we do. Paul is not saying sometimes you do things that you don't do, other people do it. He's saying in that statement, which we did ourselves, that is works that we come up with, that we plan, that we think will save us, even if we think that they will make us right. He says works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves. But those types of works are not going to save us. We're saved by mercy and grace, and as we're going to see this morning, that includes works of obedience to God's plan of salvation. Amazing grace. It is truly amazing. We cannot save ourselves. We have to be saved by the amazing grace of God. And we're glad that you're studying with us this morning from God's Word, and I hope that if you don't already have your Bible out, you'll get your Bible out. And I want to look this morning at six things which are always true about the grace of God. Six things that are always true about the grace of God. Number one, God's grace is available to everyone. Number two, God's grace is revealed in His Word. Number three, God's grace is the basis of our salvation. Number four, God's grace is in harmony with truth. Number five, God's grace is accessed by our faith. And number six, God's grace is the basis of godly character, that continuing life of a Christian. And our hope this morning is that you will accept God's grace and be saved. And if we can sit down and study about that, please contact us. Please call us at the church building. Please come by and visit us during one of our services. Please, you can contact us if you want by email through our website. But contact us so that we can sit down and study together about the amazing grace of God. Let's look this morning at six things which are always true about the grace of God. Number one, the grace of God is available to everyone, and that's what makes it beautiful. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. There is no one, no matter how good or how bad they are, everyone can be recipients of the grace of God. Paul writes in Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a people for His own possession, zealous of good works." Number one, God's grace is available to everyone. That doesn't mean everyone will receive it. We know from other places in Scripture that not everyone is going to heaven. There's a broad way that leads to destruction, and Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14 that many are traveling that broad way that leads to destruction. There will be many in eternal hellfire. Not everyone will receive the grace of God, but it's available to everyone. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. God is gracious to all mankind. There is no respecter of persons with God. We're told that in other places of Scripture, in Acts chapter 10, 34, Romans 2, 11, Ephesians 6, 9, Colossians 3, 25, 1 Peter 1, 17. All of these passages say that God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter our color, our social status, our economic status, what nation we're from, what period of time we've been born in and lived in. It doesn't matter. God's grace is for everyone. And that's a beautiful thing. Will you accept it today? It has appeared. It has appeared in Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross, and it has appeared in God's Word. Will you accept it? It's available to you, friend. That amazing grace of God. Number two, God's grace is revealed in God's Word. Right here, we already read Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Then look at it. Instructing us. God's grace appears and God's grace instructs us on how to be right with God and live right. That instruction is found on the pages of the New Testament. Turn with me to Acts chapter 14 and verse 3, when Paul was preaching in Iconium. It came to pass that he entered into Iconium. He entered into the synagogue. He was preaching to the Jews. Some of them were disobedient. Acts 14, verse 3, long time therefore they tarried, speaking boldly in the Lord, who bare witness unto the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. In other words, miracles. The word of his grace. God's grace is not a mysterious feeling. God's grace is not some better felt than told experience, a warm feeling in our heart. God's grace, His favor, is put forth in words to tell us what to do. Paul talks about the word of His grace. Acts chapter 20, verse 24 and verse 32. God's grace calls us through His word. Galatians 1, verse 6. God's grace can be heard. Colossians 1, 5 through 6. God's grace was even prophesied in the Old Testament. 1 Peter 1 and verse 10. So friends, how do I know what the grace of God is? Where do I go to find it and to learn how to be saved? I open my New Testament. I read the word of His grace. I study my Scripture. I read my Bible. I learn what I need to do to be saved and stay saved. God's grace is revealed in God's Word. Number three, God's grace is the basis of our salvation. The basis of our salvation is not our own human works. The basis of our salvation is grace, and that grace has conditions, faithful obedience, but the basis of it, the foundation of it, what starts it, what begins it, is the grace of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Ephesians 2, 5 through 9. When we sin and we violate God's law, Paul says that we are dead in sin. That's his point in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, dead in sin, spiritual death, spiritual separation from God. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. But there's good news. We don't have to stay there. Look at Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 4. But, there's a contrast. We don't have to stay in sin. But God, being rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved. And raised us up with Him, and made us to sit with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. There's good news, in other words. When we sin, we're dead in sin, but there's good news. God is rich in mercy and love and kindness and grace, and by his grace we can be saved. Paul is writing to the Ephesians. This is Ephesians chapter 2, writing to the Christians at Ephesus, and you can read about their conversion in Acts chapter 18 and 19. We won't take time this morning to turn back there, but when you turn back there, you'll find that the Ephesians heard the gospel when Paul came to Ephesus. They believed the gospel, and they believed that Jesus was the Christ. They repented of their sins. They confessed their faith in Christ, and they were baptized into Christ. We read about some of those who were baptized in Acts chapter 19, the first few verses. Baptism is even mentioned here when Paul said in verse 6, "And raised us up with him." Paul explains elsewhere, for example, in Romans 6, 3 and 4, that when we're raised up with Christ, that's being raised up from the waters of baptism. So baptism is here even in Ephesians chapter 2. But Paul says, by grace have you been saved. But he also says, through faith. The way in which grace is applied to us is by us exercising our faith. And notice that Paul says in verse 8, very famous verse, "For by grace have you been saved." Grace is the basis of our salvation. Through faith, that's the condition, an act of obedient faith, and that not of yourselves. It doesn't come from us. We don't come up with the plan of salvation. We exercise our faith. And then Paul says, "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Some interpret that as faith is the gift of God, when in fact, Paul is talking about salvation. Salvation is a gift of God. So the third truth is that grace is the basis of our salvation. Turn with me to Acts chapter 15 and verse 11. Acts 15 verse 11. Paul, looking back on the preaching that he had done to others, "We believe that we shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in like manner as they." Peter is actually talking, I'm sorry, about looking back on Cornelius and his conversion and his household in Acts chapter 10. And Paul says that we Jews, we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in like manner as they. Well, how were they saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? How were they? Well, when you go back and look at Acts chapter 10, 33 through 48, Acts 11, 14 through 18, looking back on that story, Acts 15, 7 through 10, you find that Cornelius and his household, they heard the word of God, they believed it, believed that Jesus was the Christ, they repented of their sins, they confessed their faith, and they were baptized into Christ. So, grace is the basis of our salvation, and it tells us what we must do to be saved. Number four, grace is always in harmony with truth. Jesus brought grace and truth, John 1:14 and John 1:16 through 17. God is gracious and God is true. Sometimes there are messages today from preachers and teachers where they emphasize grace and they downplay obedience. That's a false message. Any message or doctrine that emphasizes grace and sacrifices the need to learn and obey the truth of God is a false message. Sometimes there are messages that emphasize truth and Bible authority and give no attention to or acknowledge God's grace. That would be a false message. It's both. It's not either or. Jesus brings grace and truth. If I know and acknowledge God's grace, I will want to walk in the truth of His Word. So grace and truth walk hand in hand. And it's that truth that tells me how to have access into that grace. And that's our next point. Number 5. God's grace is always accessed by our faith. Think about it as a door going into a room. The room is grace. The door is the access into that grace. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, 1 and 2. The room is salvation. The room is grace. The room is forgiveness of sins. What is the access into that? What is the doorway? What is the entryway? Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, having talked an entire chapter 4 of an obedient faith of Abraham, a walking faith, an obedient faith, not just a mental assent, but walking obedience. Paul says in Romans 5, verse 1, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's your forgiveness of sins. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, there's your grace. There's your sacrifice on the cross. And then he says in verse 2, through whom, Jesus, also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're going to talk about that stand in just a moment. We have to keep standing in the grace of God. It's not a one-time action. But notice here, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace. Justified means being made right with God. Peace means that we're in harmony with God. Sin has been removed. Do we need these? Well, absolutely. The room of God's grace, the room of God's salvation, is accessed by the door of our faith. That is in perfect harmony with what we just read in Ephesians 2:8. By grace have you been saved through faith. Active faith is revealed in this same book that we're reading. In this same book that we're reading, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, at the very beginning and at the very end, Paul writes obedience of faith. Romans 1:5, Romans 16:19. Faith is always obedient faith in the Scripture. Now today, it's been made faith alone, which is a mental assent. A few words that you say, modern day preachers and televangelists and radio evangelists say, if you'll just say a simple little sinner's prayer, you'll be saved. No, friend, it was never presented that way in the New Testament. And we should not present it that way today. That's a false grace. That's making merchandise of the grace of God. That's turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. The true picture of grace is that, like a room, we have access into this grace through faith. And it's an act of obedience of faith. Romans 1:5, Romans 16:19, and several other passages in the New Testament. The whole book of Hebrews 11, the whole chapter of Hebrews 11, speaks of an act of obedient faith. Grace can be seen. We read about Barnabas, when he came to Antioch in Acts 11:23, he had seen the grace of God. You can see the grace of God when you see people exercising their obedient faith. We sing in our songbooks, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So grace is always accessed by faith. And number 6, grace is the basis of godly character. Do you remember back in Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12, the passage that we read earlier this morning, where Paul writes, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." God's grace not only tells us what to do to be saved initially, but it tells us what we must do to remain a godly Christian. This is where the grace of God finds its place in the heart and lives of the now Christian. First, the grace of God saves. Secondly, the grace of God teaches. And it teaches us to deny, stop, stay away from ungodliness and worldly lust, and then in a positive way, to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And we need that so much today in an ungodly society that we live in. We need to be that salt and light to those around us, and the grace of God teaches us how to do that. This is why in the New Testament there are many places where the grace of God is connected to godly Christian character, and also it is mentioned in places where we're told that Christians must continue in God's grace and not fall from God's grace. There are different religions out there that teach once you're saved, you're always saved. The New Testament doesn't teach that. And we've covered that topic on the Let the Bible Speak program. You can look back through our programs. You can get online and look at previous programs where we've discussed where the New Testament teaches that we can fall from grace. So we must continue in the grace of God, Acts 13:43. We must not continue in sin, Romans 6:1-2. The grace of God does not allow us to continue in sin, Romans 6:1-2. We must not receive the grace of God in vain, 2 Corinthians 6:1. We must not make void the grace of God, Galatians 2:20-21. We must not fall from grace, Galatians 5:4, Hebrews 12:15. We must be strengthened in grace, 2 Timothy 2:1. We must find grace to help in time of need as we go to God in prayer, Hebrews 4:16. We must stand in the grace of God, 1 Peter 5:12. We must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. We must not pervert the grace of God, Jude 4. Grace is the basis of godly Christian character. Friends, we're glad that you've joined us this morning on the program. As we wrap up, let me say, will you accept the grace of God today? It's available to you. It's revealed in His Word. It's the basis of your salvation. It's in harmony with truth. It's accessed by your faith, and it will help you to live that godly Christian life. Can we help you to be a part of that amazing grace of God? Please contact us. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you'll have a good day.